So just as a warning, this episode is a little bit gory.
Oh, goody.
But,
yeah.
But one thing that they do in the UK is they do love to make history exciting by telling you all of the gory details. And I remember, just as an example, being an eight-year-old kid stood in a field somewhere in the West Country in England, and they were doing a English Civil War reenactment. And a Roundhead, who has obviously fought, if you don't know anything about the English Civil War, it was the Roundheads versus the Cavaliers. It was Parliament versus the King.
The Roundheads? That just sounds like an insult.
It was just the shape of their helmets, I think it was, like slang stuff. So and what happened was, he was telling us a story about he had a musket and they would fire musket balls. And he said that he was told us a story about a soldier who got hit in the head by a musket ball and his face exploded and he just had a hole in his face instead of a face, and he was alive, but he was obviously blind and couldn't talk. So the field medic at the time just poured some wine down his throat hole and apparently recovered. So
I have a very vivid imagination, Rhys.
As an eight-year-old kid, that made me love history.
Welsh history teachers are sick fucks. Oh my god.
But even like my son, he's got like these books that like he brought over from the UK and family bought him called there's a whole show called Horrible Histories, and it's a kids' TV show, and they teach kids about all the horrible stuff, and it makes it more exciting.
I guess
numbers, yeah.
Oh my, well, yeah, that's all right. Oh Jesus.
So we've done this warning, so let's get on with the episode.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hi, everyone. This is Rhys. This is Canadian Politics is Boring, and I'm here. I am conscious, and somebody else is conscious is Jesse. Hi, Jesse.
Hello. That was sad. You could do better. Come on. You just went for a six-hour drive. You got sunburned. You woke yourself up with a McDonald's milkshake.
You do the intro. You do the intro. I'm not a performer. Just you do the intro, and we'll go into the episode. We're going to be for an hour trying to do this otherwise.
I need you to cheer me on. I need you to be like clapping and whistling and hooting and hollering as if you're in an audience.
I'm not North American. I'm British. We don't do things like that.
No.
We're just dignified.
Woo!
Yay. You can do it, Jesse.
God, I'd hate to be a comedian in the UK. God damn.
Do it. Yeah. give the intro of your life now.
What do you got for me today? What are you teaching me? I got to say, like, I'm looking more and more looking forward to these episodes because of how beyond ridiculous
okay,
the topics are. And I'm very curious as to what you've got.
How do you feel about capital punishment?
Not great.
That doesn't mean they force you to live in Ottawa. We love you, Ottawa. We're joking.
He loves you.
This episode is called Hanging People Used to Be Fine.
You come up with the best titles.
I know. So, I'm very proud of my titles. So basically, like, it wasn't that long ago that capital punishment was fine in Canada. And amazingly, it was done by hanging up until the 1970s.
The 1970s?
Yes.
70s.
Till the 70s, and they still used the technique known as hanging, which I thought just happened in olden times.
And you're, you know, yeah. It's,
yeah,
okay,
and,
so,
you know, he's got the plague, hang him, that kind of
so
stuff.
So when was the last public hanging in Canada?
We'll get to that, but first of all, I'm going to give you some backstory, and we'll go from there.
This is amazing. I don't know how you find this shit, Lisa. I don't know how you find it.
Wikipedia. That's how I find most things.
Okay.
Detailed research and Wikipedia. Yeah. So from the details I looked at, from 1867 to 1976, 1,481 people had been sentenced to death in Canada, and 710 people had been executed. 697 were men and 13 were women. So And it's kind of
so
like
a large percent as a large percentage of people were sentenced to death but never died.
Yeah, they were sentenced to death, but then
judge just changed their mind, or they forgot about it, or
maybe they escaped because like prisons weren't as good back then.
Right,
they didn't have CCTV or they all escaped.
They all escaped.
Yeah. They all escaped. Nearly 500 people escaped. So,
okay, good on you. You're about to be hung. Yeah. So yeah.
Exactly. So back when Canada was called New France, Canada was kind of New France when the French settled in Canada first, before there was a major British influence.
I did know that the French settled first, which is how we got Acadia and Quebec and amazingly New Orleans. But I didn't know we were called New France.
That's cool. I think it's just a generic term. Like when they say New England, that's like a bunch of states on the East Coast of America.
Oh, okay. All right. Please continue. Don't let me detract from the hanging.
That basically execution was imported from Europe, like a lot of other things. And it was common in New France that a male criminal who'd been sentenced to death could have his life spared if he agreed to take the job of executing others.
Oh my God.
So like you murdered someone, were sentenced to death. Unless you want to kill more people, then you can stay alive and just kill more people.
So what about those people that he's killing if they agreed to also kill more people? Like, is it just like a killing? It did just become like this killing pyramid scheme? Like
killing. Yeah, exactly. The execution pyramid scheme. And yeah, it's just
of New France.
Unless the position came up that morning, maybe the other person like fell off a wagon and died or something. And then, it was just your lucky day. They were like, well, we could execute you, but listen, this role's come up. We think you'd be good for it. You murdered someone in cold blood. So you've got
experience. Yeah.
You've got experience. We know you'll go through with it. You won't embarrass us in front of everyone. So
he's the only one here with experience killing other people. So he's great for the job. Oh,
but the plot thickens. A female prisoner could have her life spared if she agreed to marry the executioner.
What?
So hold on.
Who gets to decide that? The executioner? Like, yes. The executioner is about to hang someone, thinks they're, oh, you know what? She's pretty. I won't hang you if you decide to marry me. Now, there's a foundation of trust that any marriage could flourish on, I'm sure. Like, that's, can you picture, how did you two meet? Do you have a story? Tell us the story. Well.
But also think about,
I was about to hang her, and she gave me this cute little look. She batted her eyelashes at me, and I thought, you know what? There's a wife. And I spared her life, and we've been together ever since. She tries to kill me every night, but I'm on top of it. Don't worry. Like, it's, yeah, I can see this. This is great.
Think about the sequence of events, though, as well. You wake up in your a prison cell because
you're about to say hotel
in your hotel. Well, maybe like it seems pretty. The rules are bizarre. So, like, you wake up in your prison cell and you know you're going to be executed that day, and then they tell you that actually there's no executioner, but you can be the executioner and you'll get to live. And you go, oh, great, okay, great. And then the person who was going to be executed after you was a woman, so then you end up waking up thinking you're going to get killed that day, but you end up with a job and a wife by the end of the day.
I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. Like,
well, that's not how I expected today to go. So anyway,
hold on a second. So a whole bunch of people were sentenced to death, but a whole bunch didn't die. Well, I think we now know why. Yeah,
they did escape, but with the rules.
Right. Yes. Into marriage.
Exactly. Yeah. Into marriage or a job. So
indentured slavitude and marriage. Yeah,
exactly. So after Confederation, there was like laws were passed, and there were only three offenses where you could be executed, which was murder, rape, and treason. And the Parliament also decided in like 1868 that the execution had to happen within a prison instead of in public with an audience, which is nice.
Sure. Gives the prisoners something to look forward to, some entertainment. You know, there wasn't a lot of TV back in the 1800s.
So. Yeah, I suppose it stops like crowds of people turning out to watch people die.
Right. Probably great for morale, I'm sure.
Exactly. So, as I said, like hanging was the main method, and they weren't great at doing it. So the first method of hanging was called hoisting. where they would put a rope over somebody's neck and then everyone would hoist them up in the air by pulling the other end of the rope.
Oh my God.
So, which sounds really comical. It sounds like something out of like, like slapstick movie, you know, where they're like, right, put it around his neck. Now you five hold this rope and run that way. Like,
I can't believe we're laughing about this. This is horrible.
And then someone came up with the technical innovation of getting them to stand on a cart and then pushing the cart away from under them.
Yeah, but they've been doing that for hundreds of years. This isn't like, how did Canada not hear about how the rest of the world was executing people?
I guess, you know, you live in isolation. They didn't have Wikipedia to find out good
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there weren't YouTube tutorial videos in those times to show you how to hang someone successfully.
Oh my God, this is such a morbid episode. Oh my
God. So
Jesus, Reese.
So they also experimented with the length of the rope and the length of the drop, and they kind of perfected it so that it became more humane, so that people's necks would be dislocated immediately on impact. But it took a long time for people to learn those skills and get it right, because there were a lot of botched hangings. So while they considered it a humane method at the time with an expert executioner, they were... this one incident. I keep laughing, but it's awful. So condemned prisoners were often decapitated by accident.
Oh my God! This is
And people. So there's one instance in Don Jail in Toronto where
they dropped so far that their head was ripped off their body.
And someone else went through the floor of that room into the room below as well.
Oh my God. This is supposed to be a comedy show, Reese. A comedy show. Oh my God. We need to put a warning at the beginning of this one. This is Jesus Christ. Oh my, so at one point, some poor schmuck dropped with a length of rope attached to their neck, their head was ripped off of their body, and then their decapitated body plunged through the floor beneath into the room below, surprising whoever's down there playing cards, just a headless body just dropping onto their table. This is to perfect the humane method of executing Canadian prisoners.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
All in the name of science.
Yeah, you know, this is their development phase, I guess they would call it today.
I want to publicly apologize to all of our listeners for this episode. This is, God, I have a vivid imagination, by the way. So I'm picturing all of this. This is not going to be great for my sleep tonight.
Like, it just goes. I mean, the funny part is the absurdity of it all. How absurd, like, the notion of capital punishment is, but also how absurd these attempts are to claim you are humanely executing people.
Right.
That's where the humor comes from. It's not laughing at people getting decapitated. It's laughing at...
Although that is pretty funny, I got to say. Yeah. Just, yeah, no.
Only because you don't know them, and it was 100 years ago. a man named John Radcliffe was Canada's first professional executor in 1892. And then after he died, there was a guy named Arthur Ellis who worked as a hangman in Canada until he botched an execution in Montreal in 1935, and was then replaced by a woman called, and this was a fake name, she was Camille Bronchard. It's a great fake name. And she oversaw more than 85 executions, more than any other. This was in Bordeaux prison, where 85 of those executions happened, which was like one of the records. And she carried out most of the executions in the post-war period in Canada. And the best part is she did it for free. She didn't get paid. She just did it for the love of the job.
Of course she did. Oh my God. Yeah, that's just hey, what are you doing today? Oh, not much. Well, it's your lucky day. Why don't you come on down to the prison and we've got some fun for you to have. Oh boy, yay! Like, is this she didn't get paid. Like, they offered her money and she's like, nope, I'm not taking your filthy, filthy money. Just give me some people to kill. Like, that's
look at the smile on my face. This is all the payment I need.
Right. And maybe an employment of the month plaque every now and
again.
Like,
And a big ham at Christmas.
Can you imagine what would employee of the month be like for professional executors? Like, that's
you know, like Costco, when you get to the tills, they got all the pictures of employee of the month. It's just her for like every month.
That's all the payment she needs.
The last two people executed in Canada were a gentleman named Ronald Turpin and Arthur Lucas. They were both convicted for murder, and they were executed in Toronto in 1962, which isn't that long ago, really, when you think
not
about
really,
it.
No.
And they were, both men were informed they would likely be the last people to ever hang in Canada, and they described it as some consolidation. So, congratulations, you're the last people to ever die this way in Canada. And the people in the queue behind you, they're fine. Does that make you feel better? Is that some consolidation?
It's like waiting to get into a club and then the bouncer cuts you off, but like the opposite of that, like waiting to get into hell.
But even then, like, after they've been doing this for nearly 200 years, they botched the final one, and Lucas's head was nearly torn right off because they miscalculated his weight.
I'm going to fucking throw up if you keep talking about this shit. Oh my God,
Reese. But it just shows how like awful it is, because even after, like I said, after 200 years, they still got it wrong. And this was like, this is the last one, last time we're ever going to do it. And then they still did it anyway. They were like, oh, your chances are you're going to be the last person to for this to happen to. You could have gone like, well, why don't we just pretend we're all sick for 3 weeks?
Right.
Wait for that rule to change, you know?
It's like, yeah, you can't instead, hang someone who's it. Sick. That's
and,
the thing.
But he said they did it and they messed it up just by not... They miscalculated his weight. Well, just have a weigh-in scales there in the prison. I'm sure there must be one in a store cupboard. You know, it's not like a fairground ride where you guess someone's weight.
Oh my God.
It's not guesswork. It, you know, it's... yeah.
I don't... This is...
So even though... So eventually, the last person sentenced to death was Mario Gotha in 1976. So the last people to be hung were in the 60s, but they started to not do it very often, and it had kind of been not... It was the public opinion was swinging against it, so they hadn't done it. And the last person who was sentenced, it never happened to, because capital punishment was abolished the same year that they'd been convicted. So they kind of... It would have happened, but the law got changed, which is crazy. So actually the law finally changed the same year that Bohemian Rhapsody was released. Which is crazy.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's coincidentally tied together at all, but
maybe it is.
Maybe it is. Yeah. This has been a fucking sobering episode. We're not at the end. Tell me more.
Even though it was abolished for civilians, it wasn't abolished for people serving in the military. So they could still get executed at firing squad, cowardice, desertion, unlawful surrender, or spying for the enemy. So if you were... but that was then actually changed.
Cowardice.
So yeah, I'm afraid of bullets. Get over here. We're going to shoot you. I'll show you how to be afraid of a bullet. Like,
oh my God.
That's a very, very broad. And that was changed in 1998, which is nice, which was not that long ago.
1998 was the last time a military person...
No,
was...
they didn't shoot anyone unless they got around to changing the rule in 1998.
Oh, in 98. So, okay, I see. Okay.
So now you don't get the death penalty in the Canadian military for any of those things.
That's great. Yay.
So while opposition to the death penalty increased in the 90s and early 2000s, Canada is actually... In 2004, only 48% of Canadians favoured the death sentence for murderers.
48, wow.
And then in 2020, 51% of Canadians are in favour of reinstating the death penalty for murder.
Oh my God.
So it's kind of, although it got changed and support for it dropped, it's kind of crept up and it apparently is comparable to the same statistics as the United States. Is a very similar public opinion to it. So if this lesson is anything, that it should hopefully be a lesson that it's probably not a good idea to bring it back even right? if public opinion swings to the majority.
No kidding.
Because yeah, they get it wrong. Unless they bring back those rules of like you can be an executioner or get married, maybe.
Right. Yeah, I think that should bring it a bit. Yeah, that should definitely be brought back. And if any one of the if any one of the people that you're about to execute you find attractive and you want to not kill them, you could just marry them instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I think it's a good technique. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you enjoyed Hanging People Used to Be Fine, the episode?
I gotta tell you, Reese, there's been some criticism about my laugh over the past few while. And this, if you want to get me to laugh less, get me to talk about and listen to an episode on botched hanging, because that's just oh my God. Like, I'm a little queasy to my stomach right now just because all the visualization, like I picture everything. Thank you so much for. Oh God, you end the episode. I can't do it. I'm too depressed. This is just.
did you learn?
I learned. There has been learning. Yes, there's been much learning. Thank you for listening to our comedy show. So glad that you've come to join us and stick us in your ear holes just the way you like it. This has been Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Jesse Harley. With me, as always, is Reese Waters. I'm going to go throw up.
Hi. Yeah, thank you for listening. I hope you had a great time. And remember, the next time somebody says, should we bring back capital punishment? Just remember some of the gory details that we covered.
Please, have a detail. Okay.
My torso is so cold.
Why is that, Reese?
Well, my skin has tiny translucent hairs on it to help moderate my body temperature, but it's very ineffective in this cold Canadian breeze. I wish there was some kind of T-shaped shirt I could wear over my torso, but
you do walk around naked an awful lot of the time.
Yeah, not only do I want to have my torso warm, I wish there was an obscure joke that only people who listen to a specific podcast would get on that T-shirt as well.
If only there was a solution to your problem. Too bad there isn't. Thanks for listening to the show.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.